We had baptism today by one of our elders, Saku, his grandchildren, two others the other week before. We have a stack full of testimonies to give them. A new foyer. Praise the Lord. Nearly 8 weeks ago, Dave left for his sabbatical, and in order to rest and recharge and refresh, and I'm happy to report to you that he has rested. He is refreshed. He is recharged. And also about 8 weeks ago, I stood up here behind this pulpit, and we talked about pastoral ministry. And we kind of ran out of time, so we're going to finish that up. We're going to recap, talk about, first of all, recap shepherding the flock, what that means, and then what that ultimately means to us and what we're expected to do. I've taught that the church, the marks of a church, are biblical teaching, our loving fellowship, and living worship. And that hasn't changed. But we're going to take a look at what it means to follow the shepherding of our pastoral staff. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed day, God. You lead us by still waters. You lead us to green pastures. And God, some of us are tired, Lord. Some of us have not slept well. Some of us are sick, Lord. Some of us are stressed out and anxious about things unseen. So God, restore our souls, we pray. We pray, God, fill this room with your presence, God, as we commit to you this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's recap. One of the strongest marks of a healthy church is healthy leadership. And just as a pastor, just as leadership is a blessing to the church, a plurality of elders, as our church practices, is a blessing to that pastor. And I just have a few Greek words for you, as the New Testament interchangeably and uses these three terms. Episkopos, which means overseer. That's where we get the word Episcopalian, because they practice the use of bishops in their church government. We have another word that we use is presbyteros, as we'll look in 1 Timothy. That means in English, elder. And that's where we get the English word for Presbyterian. And lastly, we have this Greek word, it's poimen. And poimen is particular because it means pastor, but shepherd. Someone who tends for and cares for a flock. So when you study 1 Timothy, when you read all the instructions that Paul has in the New Testament about leadership, he's going to interchange between these three. So please join me in 1 Timothy 3. It says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceits and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into the disgrace, into the snare of the devil. And first, what this is talking about, is Paul's not giving a job description. He didn't say the pastor must pray, the pastor must this, the pastor must that. He's giving a list of characteristics, tangible characteristics that prove that truth, that the gospel does result in godliness. And that's what we should expect from. That's how we qualify our elders to lead our church. That's how we qualify Pastor Dave to be the senior pastor of our church. And as me as well, in accountability. And you know what? Our church is truly blessed by awesome, godly leaders. So we have a few bullet points for you. The first is, go ahead and fill that out in your notes, in your bulletins, pastors are called by Christ. You know, ministry is both an office and a gifting by the Holy Spirit for the common good. The gifting of the pastor is not designated by man. It's not simply an ordination by the church, although the church should collectively agree upon who's going to be the spiritual leader. Nor is it the completion of seminary or Bible school, but it is the will of God. It is an appointment by the Son and is an empowering by the Holy Spirit. So firstly, pastors are called by Christ. Second, pastors are to teach the word of God. 2 Timothy 4 says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And that's a crazy charge. Paul writes to Timothy. Right before Paul is about to be executed for his faith, he writes to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge, preach the word. So pastors, elders, overseers are to teach the word of God. Pastors are to properly handle, divide, and dissect the word of God. Dave often asks us to pray for his sermon prep during the week. And what he wants for us to pray for, what he wants to happen is for him to properly expose what the word of God says, what it means, and properly engage us and have us participate in the way it affects our lives, in the way we are to change into the likeness of Christ. And Dave spends many hours praying for us, praying for himself, praying for the sermon prep, so that so that God may develop a delicious feast for us to feed on. You know, it reminds me of when I was little. I'd ride my bike, like 7th grade or something, and the lights would turn on. Oh, I'm late, right? The street lights come on. So I come home, and I see my siblings, my mom and dad, sitting around the table, and they're waiting for me, and I'm late. So when I finally walk in, I have to get dressed. I'm kind of embarrassed. I have to change out of my play clothes. I have to wash my hands. And I finally sit down. And what my mom wants us to do as a family is to enjoy what she has spent all day preparing for us. She just came home from work. She's tired. She cleans the house. And then she makes this meal. And she wants us to enjoy it. And in the same way, Dave spends all this time. He spends so many hours flying that desk, so that we may come and participate and partake in that in this beautiful time of feasting and fellowshipping. So let's come. Let's come. 10:30, church starts. Let's come. It doesn't start when Dave stands up here. It starts at 10:30 with announcements and welcoming and greeting time. So let's partake. Man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Also, pastors are to disciple others and raise up leaders. Go ahead and jot that down. Pastors are to disciple others and raise up leaders. 2 Timothy 2 says, And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Dave spends a lot of his other amounts of time in the office, when he gets back, especially to disciple young men, to dissect the word of God, and to encourage the older women to disciple the younger women. And that is something that we should expect and something that we should encourage Dave to do. That what he has heard from the presence of many witnesses, that he would entrust, and that we also would entrust to faithful men. Lastly, in our recap, pastors are held accountable before God for the care of the flock. Pastors are held accountable before God for the care of the flock. Hebrews 13, it reads, Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. And I want you to understand the gravity of this responsibility that Dave has and our elders have. On the day of judgment, Dave and every other pastor on earth will come and stand before the throne of God, and they will be considered how we turned out, what we believed, what they have been spending their whole life teaching us, and how we ended up in our living. Now, each one of us will have that accountability before God. I will stand before God, and God will examine how I raised my children, how I treated my wife, and the same with you. But Dave also. According to his ministry here, according to the teaching of doctrine, and according to how we respond to him, whether in gentleness or in harshness, and him to us, God will judge him according to his flock, according to us. And it's important that we too take Pastor Dave and the elders' advice and instructions. It's very important that we take that seriously. You know, they're not the guidance counselor. They're not the yard duty at school. You know, oh, Dave and the elders come into my house, I guess I'm in trouble. They're not that. They're not HR. They're looking after our very souls while we're here. And that's hard to do. I sat in Pastor Dave's office. I commandeered his office for 8 weeks, and the elders have to make tough calls. The elders have to pray for the hard things. They have to confront the hard things, and they have to do it because they will be held accountable for God, and because they love us. So they're going to have to give an account for all these things. If they don't. Shepherd us, if they don't tend for us, if they don't care for us, then God will ask, where were you? And if we avoid their instruction, if we have their instruction go in one ear and out the other, God will ask us why rebel. So pastors, elders, overseers will be held accountable for their ministry here, for the care of their flock. So now, that's the recap. I hope that was enough of an appetizer. But that's the recap. Now, what are we supposed to do? What does that mean to us? So let's follow along with me in your notes. We, the church, first of all, are to pray. Write that down. First of all, we, the church, are to pray. Our elders, our deacons, have this great initiative for our church to be and to remain a house of prayer. And we should pray. If you're tired of the church looking like this, then I want you to pray. If you're tired of the church behaving like this, I want you to pray. Actively pray for one another. That's why we have the prayer lists. If you have beef, if you have a problem with somebody else, pray. Please pray for our elders, because they have struggles. They have strengths, and they need encouragement. So let's pray, as Paul always says in his letters. Pray for the governing authorities in your life. Let's pray for our pastor also. Secondly, we, the church, are to submit. Just as Hebrews 13 read, let me read it for you. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. It's completely biblical for us to respect and obey and submit to the leadership of our elders and pastor. It's completely biblical. But an attitude of rebellion or an attitude of hatred or bitterness or division may not be from the Lord, so you might have to examine yourself. And it's okay. It's okay to come up to our elders and privately and say, hey, I don't understand why you told me this, or I don't understand what you meant by this. Can you clarify? There's nothing wrong with that. A desire to be discipled, that is something from the Lord. But to just shoo away what our elders have for us to grow and develop as followers of Christ may not be from the Lord. And lastly, we the church are to serve. We the church are to serve. Matthew 25, follow along with me on the screen behind me. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one another, one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So if we want to serve Christ, we the church are to serve. If we want to serve Christ, then we must serve one another. There's no other way around it. So if you're skeptical, if you're hearing this and you're like, Mike, I'm raising my new babies. I just got this new job. School's going to start in a few weeks. If you're skeptical about this idea to serve because, you know, you're not sure about the level of commitment, I want you to first examine your heart and just allow God to change you in that time, in that brief season. So school starts in a few weeks. Come up to one of the elders and say, I have a few weeks left. School's going to start. How may I serve the body of Christ? How may I visit someone when they're sick? How may I feed someone when they're hungry? How may I give something to drink to someone who thirsts? Now, I can't promise you that, you know, you'll reap dividends from that few weeks of school, for the few weeks before school starts, or your new job, or you have to hold your baby while you're painting the foyer. I can't promise you that you're going to reap the dividends of that. We're not a 401k, I'm telling you right now. But I want to remind you that we serve the one true God, who has left everything in the heavenly places, that he took the form of a servant, of a slave, who has done nothing wrong in his life, and yet died a criminal's death, even death on a cross. And that is the God we serve. I want to encourage you, that is the God we serve. For the kingdom of God is like this. A man was about to leave on a long journey, and he calls the servants to him, and he distributes his property to them, and to one he gives 5 talents, to one he gives 2, to one he gives 1. And after a long time being gone, he comes and returns back to his property, and he calls the servants back to him. And the one with 5 comes up, and he says, Master, you gave me 5 talents, I give you 5 more. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. I have entrusted to you little, and I will set you over much. And then he calls the second servant up, and the servant says, Master, you gave me 2 talents, and I made 2 more. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. I have entrusted to you little, and I will set you over much. The kingdom of God is like this. The servant with the 1 talent came up to the master and said, Master, you gave me 1 talent. You are a hard master. You make me work this land and you reap the fruit. So here's your 1 talent back. And the master says, you slothful servant. You should have at least done something with the 1 talent so that I may gain interest. You know that I'm a hard master. I put you to work and I reap the fruit. For to everyone who has, it will be more given to him, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And what I'm saying is this. When you serve our church, when you get plugged in, when you stop being Jonah's, fleeing away from the will of God, and you finally humbly obey what God wills for you in your personal life and your walk with him, then we serve Christ. I have this last bullet point for you in your notes. I want you to write this down. I was raised with this mantra, and I feel that it's appropriate to share with you. The need is the call. The need is the call. Now, I'm not saying that you need to leave your job and your family completely to come serve at Trinity. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you must risk, you know, the welfare of your children to come serve here. But what I'm saying is that the service to the Lord is simply our response to the immeasurable grace of God that we have received. And we are being obedient when we get plugged in and when we serve and when we participate in the announcements and in the fellowship. When we use our talents and when we use our spiritual giftings for the sake of the edification of the body. You know, a better word for the servants from that parable is stewards. Because an owner of, if you own your car, you get the right to drive it, to do whatever you want. But if you're a steward, it's not yours. You simply take care of it. And we are stewards of our time. We are stewards of money. We are stewards of our talents. We are stewards of our giftings because they don't belong to us. God gets the right to tell us, to command us, to instruct us what to do with them. So, if you have one talent, pun intended, if you have one talent, make one more. If you have two talents, make two more. If you have five, make five more. Because it is the will of Christ, therefore the desire of our elders, that we stand before God and God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I have entrusted you with little, and I will set you above much." Since Pastor Dave left on his sabbatical, our church has experienced a lot. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's participating in the foyer, who diligently and devotionally prays for our church as their ministry, and who serve and teach our kids and participate in service in our church. Thank you so much. We desire for you to now come alongside those who don't know what their calling is. I want you to come alongside those who are in despair because they don't know where they fit in or where they plug in. And invite them to participate in that with you or with our church. But our church has gone through a lot. We have received exhortations and encouragements from other pastors. We've received, we've survived rather, another season of EBS while Pastor Dave and his family were on sabbatical. The church isn't on fire on my watch. So praise the Lord. It's been a good 2 months. Yeah. But we've gone through a lot in this brief season, and I'm excited for the next. We have a great pastor, and as I testified, just as I said before, I sat in Dave's chair, and behind his desk, in front of his textbooks, and I got to say that he has a great, beautiful congregation that loves him. And he has a great, beautiful congregation that loves one another. He has a great congregation that loves Christ and his word. And there was a few times when a few dark clouds in this season rolled in. But it reminded me of when Abby and Malachi get separation anxiety, right? I'll be playing in their room with them, and then I'll leave to get some water, and they'll chase after me. "Daddy, where are you going?" I'll tell Abby, "Abigail." I'll sit her down. "Abigail, will I ever leave you?" And she says, "No." And I'll grab Malachi from the shoulders and I'll say, "Malachi, will I ever forget you?" And he says, "No." And I believe that God won't ever forsake us or leave us so long as Christ is the head of Trinity Baptist Church. So I'm really excited for Dave to come back. I'm not going to lie. When he clocks in, I'm going to give him the keys. But wow, what a great season. And I really want to encourage you all that we, the church, must pray. We, the church, must submit. And we, the church, must serve. I'm about to pray in closing. We're going to have a song at the end. Visitors, if go ahead and partake in the food that we have prepared for the church. Members, please stay here. We're going to have a brief meeting, and then we'll continue in fellowship. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, good morning. And God, we thank you so much for the season that we got to experience. God, we thank you, Lord, for Christ. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to maintain the unity and the bond of peace. And God, we know that you're going to preserve this beautiful church. We know that you're going to preserve the saints, God. And we pray that as you are the good shepherd, our pastor, Pastor Dave, and our elders and our deacons would also, Father, imitate Christ in leading us to good pastures, leading us to still waters, and that they may be used as a conduit, God, to restore our souls and remind us of our salvation. And God, in you we stand in the shadow of the Almighty. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.